Every week for the last few weeks, local GP Dr. Declan Matthews has been joining us to give us local advice on COVID-19, and I'm delighted to welcome him again today. Good afternoon, Dr. Matthews.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon, Liz. As I say, when this is all over, people will never want to hear my voice ever, ever again.
I'm sure that's not true. I think you're giving comfort to a lot of people. Now, we'll start off with up to now, there have been 16,040 cases diagnosed in Ireland and sadly 730 deaths. But let's start off with some good news. Out of the 16,040 cases, last night it was announced that over 9,000 people have recovered. Do you see that as a good sign?
Absolutely. I think things are moving exactly as we would have hoped they moved. We now have more people who have recovered from the virus than actually have it. And I think that's a great positive sign. We're doing really, really well. To go back to my GAA analogy, my championship match analogy that I said a few weeks ago, it's like we're now into the second half of the game. Y'all are playing very, very well. The Ring brothers are playing blinders. John Grace is playing really well at fullback despite his age. But we need to keep an eye on the game. We want to win this game. We don't want this to be a draw, because this game is a draw. We have to play it out again. In other words, we will have to have more shutdowns in August, September, October. And this is one of the problems that they ran into in Singapore. Singapore was one of the countries that really seems to have managed it really, really well, and they started loosening the restrictions, and now they've had a sudden increase again. So even though it's very hard on people, I think we need to stick to the rules. We need to stick to what we're doing. And I know you're all tired of me saying this, but it's working. It's working really, really well. We just need to keep it going for another while.
Yeah, because there is a lot of reports coming in that complacency is starting to set in, and we really can't have that at this stage. We've come so far. There's no point in undoing all the work that we've done.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more, Liz. You know, it's we've done brilliantly. And I think everybody should take a clap on the back. We have not been absolutely inundated with cases of COVID-19. There has been some. Unfortunately, there has been deaths. But all in all, we've got a handle on it. We're getting somewhere with it.
That's good. Young, fit people with no underlying conditions seem to think that they will be fine if they catch the virus. What is your view on that?
I have two absolute views on that. One is, if they catch the virus and they are okay, who are they going to pass it on to? And that's the big issue. They all have to go home sometime. They all have granny and granddads. They all have brothers and sisters. They all have friends. Who are they going to pass it on to? Also, there has been cases of young people dying from it. We don't seem to be able to predict at the moment which patients react really badly to it and which patients don't react badly to it. And certainly there has been cases of people in their 20s, 30s and 40s dying from it. So they're not invincible.
No. So they need to stick to the rules, just like we all are. Definitely. Some older people cocooning are finding it very difficult, not being able to go out at all. In your view, if restrictions are somewhat lifted on May the 5th, do you think they may be able to get out for a walk even? Or how long can they expect to be cocooning?
That's a very difficult one, because the answer you're not going to like, or nobody's really going to like. I do think that come May the 6th, they may lighten up some of the restrictions. I think they might allow us go more than the 2 kilometres from our home. I think they may allow some shops to open. I would still feel that the over 70s will still be advised to cocoon for another while. I know nobody wants to hear that, but it's for their own safety. It's for their own good. And it's working. And that's the most important thing. It is working. Don't lose sight of that.
Some people with underlying conditions have to get a pneumonia vaccine. Because the virus is a pneumonia type illness, would the vaccine be any benefit to people?
No, is the answer to that. Having said that, look, the pneumonia vaccine is a brilliant invention. It really works very well. I get it myself every year. All the doctors in town get it. Not every year. The pneumonia vaccine is every 5 years, sorry. But they all get it. The pneumonia that you get with the COVID virus is a viral pneumonia. The normal pneumovax, which is the one we give, does not cover for viral pneumonia.
Where do you think we are with a vaccine at this stage?
That's a great question, where we are. Obviously, there's about 40 different trials going on in the world at the moment looking into different vaccines. And it's important to realise that it takes about a year normally to develop a vaccine. And what they do basically is they take the virus, they take a sequence of proteins from the virus's shell, we'll say, and they sort of give you an injection of a form of that. So then when you're actually attacked by the virus, your own antibodies will recognize that sequence of proteins and will kill it, so thereby killing the virus. That's one way you can devise a vaccine. Problems with vaccines are, and I do feel eventually the whole problem will be solved with vaccination, but the problems with vaccines are, A, they've got to work. You've got to be sure they're going to work. That's, you know, that's that goes without saying. The other thing is you've got to be 100% sure they're safe. So it's not something you can absolutely rush, though they are doing brilliantly. And that the third thing, even though I didn't say there was three things, but the third thing is you've got to then manufacture it. And you've got to manufacture it so that it, for billions and billions of doses, that's all going to take time. Having said that, when governments and industry get around to doing these things, they can be brilliant once all the once they loosen the sort of restrictions on them, and they're doing that. And I do think we will have a vaccine. I don't think it'll be in the next month or two, but I would feel that by the end of the year, definitely by early next year, we will have a vaccine.
We won't get rid of this till a vaccine is found. It's not going to magically disappear.
No, as I said, the last day, the 1918 Spanish flu did disappear in 1919. But the feeling with this one is that this will be a little bit like our annual flu. It'll crop up every now and then. But then once we have the population vaccinated, that it won't be a problem.
I know myself personally, I read it now. Facebook, I know, isn't a reliable source, but I did read a little piece. It was supposed to have been written in a book in 1981. And it said in the year 2020, we were going to have a pandemic and it would go as fast as it came. And I was kind of relying on that, but that doesn't seem to be working out.
Well, I mean, as I say, the 1918 Spanish flu did disappear in 1919 and didn't return and hasn't been seen since. So maybe that will happen. So you cling to your belief.
I think we all need a bit of hope, don't we? No matter where it's going to come from. On nursing homes, are GPs still visiting? Because I know some news reports said yesterday they weren't, and...
Yeah, absolutely. I think there has been a problem with one or two nursing homes in the country, certainly not in this area. From our practice, Dr. Mairead Martin visits the Auckland District every week. The hospital is being visited. So yes, GPs, Melanie Kelly is looking after Cushan. So GPs are looking after places. They are visiting places if needed. They're still dealing with some stuff over the phone, but if they're needed, they're going there.
And just to get across again to people, there's a lot of reports that people aren't turning up to GPs when they need to see a GP because they're afraid. And even hospitals, people still need to visit their GPs if they're sick.
Absolutely. And I mean, this is a very important thing to get across. And I think maybe in one way, we as GPs and we as practices are slightly at fault for this, in the fact that we were sort of terrified of bringing loads of people into buildings and having them get the infection from each other and from us. But as we get more confident in dealing with this, and certainly as we haven't seen the surge, we are now beginning to bring people back into the surgery more. And we would like to see people coming back into the surgery more. Certainly not into packed waiting rooms and that sort of stuff the way it was, but in a controlled way where they would ring up, be given an appointment to come and be seen if necessary. But certainly that's going to happen again.
Okay, and speaking of the surge, I mean, that must be really brilliant that we didn't get the surge they were expecting. That is down to the hard work that everyone has done, that we didn't get that surge.
Absolutely. It's been brilliant at the surge, because really it was a nightmare scenario if it actually happened. It hasn't happened. It looks like it's not going to happen. Let's just keep going like that.
Yeah. And anything else you'd like to add yourself?
Oh, I would. One thing, I'd like to sort of talk just a small little bit about self-care.
Yes.
I think it's important
very
in this
important.
Time. We're all sort of worried. We're all sort of panicked and at different stages. And we all go through days when we don't worry about it, and we go through days when we're absolutely panic over it. I think it's important. There's a few sort of rules we should try and stick to, or guidelines we should try and stick to. I think it's very important to control our looking at media. We can sort of get totally taken up with looking at our phones, looking at numbers dying, looking at this and looking at that, and terrifying ourselves. I think it's good to control the amount of stuff we read every day. Because, as you know, there's websites out there and you can get any poor Egypt sitting in a room somewhere can put up any lie he wants. So I think people should restrict the amount of time that they spend looking up this stuff. I think they should only rely on good, medically evidenced based sites, such as the HSE site is very good, obviously RTE site, Sky site, or whatever site you want, you know what I mean? But get your information from good, reliable sites. There's too much awful stuff going on out there, you know. Yeah. I think it's good to have what we might call an OVID day. An OVID day is a day where you're just not paying any attention to COVID-19 at all. You're not listening to any news. You're just getting on with a normal day. I think we all need that at least once a week.
Oh, we do.
You know? I think it's very important that we look after our general health. So we need to do our exercise. We need to go for our walks if we can. And if you're cocooned, you can still walk around your house. It's important to do that. I think we need to, there was a very good article in an editorial in last Sunday's Sunday Times, and it sort of said, a little bit of alcohol doesn't do us any harm. And I think we would all agree with that. It's lovely at the end of a day to put this sort of, you know, sit down, have your bottle of beer or your glass of wine. And I think we're all doing that. And I wouldn't worry about that. Now, if the glass of wine becomes the bottle of wine over a few weeks, or if the few bottles of beer become more and more and more, I think we need to watch that. But I think it's no harm to have some focus on the day just to sit down and just relax. Obviously, it's a good idea maybe 2 or 3 days of the week not to have any alcohol. Mm-hmm. And obviously, if you have a problem with alcohol in the past, now is not the time to return to it. And I know for those people, and I'm speaking specifically to those people right now, it's been very, very hard for them. They've been under a lot of stress. Their normal way of dealing with stress would be to go back on alcohol. And that's understandable. But they've been brilliant in that they haven't. And I mean, the AA is there to help people in these situations. It's probably the best unsung organisation in this country for the amount of good it does. And it's there to help people who may have problems, who may be going through tough times at the moment, who may want to sort of turn back to drink. But the AA is there to help them.
Yeah, and they are doing virtual meetings at the moment, I believe.
Yes, they are.
So they are there. Now, you have a special birthday that you'd like to give a mention to?
I do. I know this is not a request show, but
no problem at all.
My son, Dara, is 30 years on Friday. And we were supposed to have a big party in Cork on Saturday, but obviously that's not going ahead at the moment. Himself and his girlfriend, Susan, they're both frontline workers in Cork University Hospital, and they are absolutely doing brilliantly, and we're very proud of them. So on behalf of Rosemary and myself, on behalf of Kira and Graham, on behalf of Ian and Vicky, and also on behalf of Dara's three nieces and nephews, that's Bo, Sonny and Luthia, who's down in West Cork at the moment, we all wish to wish him a happy birthday.
Yeah, very good. And everyone at CRY wishes Dara a happy birthday as well. Thank you very much, Dr. Matthews, for joining us again this week, and we'll talk to you again very soon.
Thank you very much, Liz.